Back again on the February 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
News Director Zach Nelson and Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore on our monthly trip through the legal field. Occasionally, I guess. I don't really know what that last segment was.
Yeah, we stray sometimes.
Sometimes.
I think it's your job, though, as the host, to keep us on task. And sometimes you let me kind of ramble about things like Star Wars and unicycles that we probably shouldn't be talking about.
Star Wars and unicycles. We are brought to you by the Montgomery Agency of Huron, and our thanks to them for, they're probably reconsidering their sponsorship at this point in the program.
I think the contract we signed, did it say anything that we can't talk about unicycles?
I didn't see anything that precludes unicycles.
Right. So we should be all right.
I think we're okay. But again, our thanks to the Montgomery Agency for helping us to bring you the Mike Moore Show here on KOKK. Okay, at the beginning of last segment, we were going to talk about some stats from last year. Mike, what do you have?
Well, I have all kinds of stats. We keep track of just about any kind of crime that we prosecute. Some of the numbers that people are interested in. Last year, 2014, we had 151 DWIs, and that's actually a little bit lower than we normally do. We usually do about 180 to 190. I think the highest year we've ever been in the last 20 since I've been there is about 211 or 215. I think we were in that number, but last year 151. Now, something about those numbers is 100 of those were first offenses, so those were first time people through. So that means 51 of them were second or subsequent offenses, and you know that's concerning to me that we're still getting a third of our DWIs are second or subsequent offenses. I think I would like to see that number go down. I don't necessarily know how to do that. One of the biggest stats that I always find amazing on the DWIs is we keep track of the blood alcohol content and the people come back that we arrest. And out of those 151 people that have been arrested, their average blood alcohol content for the entire year was 0.17, which is well over double the legal limit. And so that's concerning to me. But if you look at some of the months, look at the month of December, the average BAC in December was 0.276. I mean, that is ridiculous that there's those people. That was the average of the people arrested. Now, in December, we only arrested three people. But they were average blood test was 0.276
for three people.
Yeah, that's a lie. You know,
wow.
In October there was 12 people arrested. The average blood test was 0.2. You know, those numbers concern me. I mean, these aren't borderline. I mean, that's our average. You know, and some people that we arrest are right at the 0.08 level, and some people we arrest are obviously well above that, but these are just the averages for the people arrested. So 151 people, those average blood alcohol level is double the legal limit. That's a lot.
If I'm driving down the street, and in this example, you're going to be the officer, I'm the one who's driving, and I'm moving around in my lane, you pull me over, you give me the breathalyzer, and it's a 0.07. You're right on that line. The officer has to let you go?
No, because there's two ways to charge DWI. It's one based on your alcohol content over an 0.08, and the other is that you're under the influence. So even if you're not at the 0.08 level, but you appear to be under the influence, and the officer runs you through the field sobriety test and makes a determination based on those that you are under the influence, then we could proceed on that count. We don't have to prove that you were over an 0.08. It's just that you were under the influence. And you'll see a lot of those arrests that we get are not only alcohol related, but the drugs. So we rely on that observation a lot for the marijuana, the prescription drugs. We arrest a lot of people that are under the influence of prescription drugs, methamphetamine, cocaine, things like that. So we rely on those officers running through the field sobriety test and making a call.
It dawned on me as you were speaking of that, obviously there are other things beyond alcohol that can impair a motorist to the point where they're going to be moving from side to side in a lane or being able to not complete a field sobriety test, like walking along the line or doing some of the alphabet backwards or a lot of the things that officers do as a part of their field sobriety test.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, so that's something that they look at. So the observations of the officers are still very important, not only the blood alcohol content itself, but the officers. I mean, one of the things that I learned that in 2013, 10,076 people died because of alcohol-related traffic accidents in this country. I mean, that's a lot of people in 1 year. 1 year, 10,000 people from DWI. 1.4 million people were arrested in that year for DWI nationwide. I mean, it's just a scary number when you're out there.
At that 2.76, is that what it was?
Yeah, in December.
Or 0.276. On average, how much are you drinking? And again, that's an average spread out amongst three people. But how much is that drinking? I mean, how much drinking are you doing to get to that level? Like three cases of beer? I mean, what? That's a lot.
It's a lot of beer. Well, you know, usually three beers will get the normal person to about the 08 level. If they have three beers in an hour, that'll get you to about the 08. So if you go from there, you know, you're talking, but you do lose some as it goes on. But in 1 hour, you would have to drink probably about 10 beers in an hour to get to the 2.7 level.
Jeez.
So that's, you know, about a 12 pack in an hour to get to that level. But now if you do that over time, say you drink two or three beers an hour for 4 or 5 hours, you're probably not going to be at that level. You probably need to drink about 4 or 5 beers at that level for 4 hours, and then you'd be about that level too. So it's a lot of drinking. That's a lot of drinking, and then to go out and get in your car, I mean, that's dangerous.
It's amazing how this program will veer, and then we'll get to something else.
Yeah, I got one stat out there, and we're 7 minutes in. I mean, I got one stat. I got like 50 other ones.
And I didn't mean to turn this into an alcohol, a drunk driving segment. It's certainly good information, but it brings me to something that, and I'm glad you got there, because it brought me to something we were discussing at lunch, that this isn't your idea, but you're hearing in the works. They are attempting to develop a steering wheel that detects alcohol content, correct?
Right, yes. I was out in D.C., and I had the opportunity to visit with the National Highway Traffic people, and I met with the director of that program that's appointed by the president, and they talked to me about some technologies that they're working on and have in the future that we'll probably see in our lifetime, probably the next 5 to 10 years. But they have devices that'll be on the steering wheel or somewhere in the car, that maybe the seat, that can read a person's blood alcohol content almost immediately, and then it can disable the car. So if you get in the car and you touch the steering wheel and you're over the legal limit, or you're at a certain level, your car won't work. I mean, they could eliminate those 10,000 deaths. They could eliminate DWI in this country if they install. And what they talked about is, you know, how they've mandated seatbelts, and they mandate the manufacturers to put seatbelts in their car, to put airbags in their car. It used to be front airbags, now side airbags, now back airbags, seatbelts in every car, and how they work and stuff. And this is something that they're looking at, if they can develop the technology to be accurate enough, because that's what it needs to do. It needs to be accurate. And you were going through a litany of things that you were asking me about the technology, about
gloves and
steering wheel covers and all these other things that they're going to have to work through, because it's going to have to work consistently. And they at some point in the future, you might see that mandated to the car manufacturers to put that in their car. And I think that's a great thing. I mean, let's prevent it. I mean, what's wrong with doing that? No one has a right to drive drunk.
Right.
So we're not impinging on anybody's rights. Let's just put it in there, and we'll prevent 10,000 people from dying. I mean, it gets amazing to me. That's an amazing number. We can prevent 10,000 people from dying. We can prevent me from having to prosecute 151 people or more a year for DWI. I mean, what a burden that would be off the criminal justice system, and how much safer would our highways be? I mean, if we have the technology, and it doesn't infringe on anybody's rights, and it's not a constitutional issue, let's get it in there and get it working and keep people safe. And, you know, victims of DWI accidents are all over the place. And if we can prevent that, let's do it.
All right, let's go back to your numbers here for a second.
Are we going to go back to my numbers?
Yes.
Now?
What other things stand out to you from last
year? Well, you're not going to let me go through them all because we just talked about it.
I mean, we should be taking a break right now.
All right.
We might not get to peer in this program.
Well, one of the things that jumps out at me is controlled substance, which are you talking your methamphetamine, your cocaine, and prescription pills, which is the up-and-coming thing that we see a lot of prescription pill abuse, which is a controlled substance. We had 51 of those arrests last year. And I remember when I started in, I was elected in 96, took over in 97. I mean, I remember some of those years we were doing 6-7 controlled substance cases a year in Beetle County. One year we did 31 and we thought it was like, oh, that was crazy. And now we're doing 51. I mean, 20 years later or 16 years later, we're doing 51 cases. That's worrisome to me. That number is, from when I started to where we're at now, is crazy. Marijuana case is 109, and that's pretty standard. We do about 100, 120 of those a year. So you see those are pretty steady, but you see the increase in the controlled substance. As we talked about on the last program, you see an increase in violent crimes like the robberies. Hadn't had any robberies hardly at all in my first 19 years. And then in the last year, we've had a rash of them. It's very bothersome to me. But those are some of the stats. I mean,
what is the strangest charge that you charged last year? And maybe it's not on your list, but I mean, off the top of your head, is there some bizarre hole in the wall law somewhere that's still on the books that somebody did something and you charged with?
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but that comes up once in a while. I mean, it comes up in times that someone will come in and make a complaint about somebody, and I don't even know it was a law until someone makes the complaint. So then I have to go look it up and figure it out. And, you know, but that's one good thing about what we do in this country is they give me discretion. So if it's strange, I don't think it's meaningful. I have the discretion of not charging it. So there's not a lot of things that will come up where if it's not a straightforward thing, if there's no purpose behind it, I'm going to exercise my discretion and tell the person not to do it again or something. I'm not going to charge that person with a crime. You know, obviously, if there's someone hurt, it's different. But those are basic kind of crimes. So if there's something strange out there that you don't hear about, it's going to be rare for me or for any prosecutor probably to charge it because we're just not, you know, we're not that type of people. We're going to use our discretion and say, hey, you know, we're realists and say, you know, this isn't really something that we need to bring in the criminal court.
All right, we're going to take a break here, come back for our final segment of the February 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show, brought to you by the Montgomery Agency on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.